The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
For Max, if you want to hop aboard, it's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up in 10 minutes, Richard Jefferson is going to stop by to talk about the NBA playoffs, and if LeBron has something brewing with Damian Lillard. In about an hour from now, Jay Billis checks in to discuss name, image, and likeness, and beyond the athletes, who will benefit the most? But we have some breaking news here with the Dodgers and Trevor Bauer. So the Dodgers have just released a statement, and Major League Baseball has released it as well. MLB's investigation into the allegations made against Trevor Bauer is ongoing. While no determination in the case has been made, we have made the decision to place Mr. Bauer on a 7-day administrative leave effective immediately. MLB continues to collect information in our ongoing investigation concurrent with the Pasadena Police Department's active criminal investigation. We will comment further at the appropriate time. Now, the thing that resonates here with me is Major League Baseball stepping in. And I'm going to be frank with you. I was surprised the Dodgers did not do this previously. Now, they were going to let him start on Sunday, make his next start. And I felt like, even though we live in a world, and this is conflicting in some ways, of innocent until proven guilty, I think because the allegations are so, so harsh, right? The allegations here are so just incredibly detailed, right? That it would have been in the Dodgers' best interest to simply just do this initially. I don't understand why they didn't do this. It feels like the right thing to do, because any private entity would have done something like this. So, like, for example, if anyone here at this company would have had allegations like that, they'd be taken seriously, and that person would be put on administrative leave. I just don't get why the Dodgers didn't do this initially and why Major League Baseball had to step in, but nonetheless, Major League Baseball has stepped in, and it's the right thing. Let the process play itself out, the legal process, the investigation, and then reassess once there's more evidence. Or once there's been some sort of understanding of what we are dealing with here. Because at the moment, we have a he said, she said. But nonetheless, it's a really serious allegation. So just take it that way and say to yourself, all right, Trevor, sorry, you're going to have to sit down. We're going to let the process play itself out. I don't understand why the Dodgers didn't do this earlier. But nonetheless, again, Major League Baseball breaking news has released a statement that they are putting Trevor Bauer on administrative leave for 7 days at the moment, effective immediately. So that saga will continue. And if we have any more information on that, obviously we will be first to bring it to you. All right, let's transition here. It is now time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
The Bucks overpower Atlanta without Giannis, and Milwaukee is one win away.
You just wonder, you know, why don't you come with this sort of desperation and attitude and aggression every game?
So the Bucks get their win without Giannis, no Trey on the other side, but a lot of contributions across the board. Chris Middleton almost had a triple-double yesterday, just a couple of assists shy of a triple-double. Jrue Holiday had 13 assists. Brooke Lopez was the star of the night, and he contributed in a big way. Bobby Portis had 22 points and 8 rebounds in his first playoff start. He's kind of their energy guy. So the Bucks are one win away from the NBA Finals. And Stephanie Reddy of TNT spoke to Brooke Lopez after the game. Brooke was the MVP last night, that's for sure. Let's listen in to Brooke.
I thought the last two games, what was it, 3 and 4, we were a bit slow at the beginning of the game. We came out tonight and just did our best to dominate both ends of the floor as much as possible for the full 48 minutes.
Let's listen to this crowd chanting Bobby. Tell me about your teammate.
I love it, man. He's so incredible. You know, he does a bit of everything for us. He gets the crowd going. He gets us going when he makes big plays, whether it's a steal, offensive rebound, score, and one. He's always bringing energy, playing hard, and I just love that so much about him. I love that guy.
Now, you had a terrific game yourself, especially in the paint. What was the defense giving you?
You know, I thought we just did a great job of playing together. You know, obviously, Chris, Drew did their normal job of making plays for everyone. And when everyone's scoring, everyone's doing their thing, that's tough for the defense. It's tough for them to make a decision and a commitment.
So that was Brooke yesterday with Stephanie Reddy after the game. Again, the Bucks one win away, and they've shown that they're capable beyond Giannis. And here's the thing. You know what this got me thinking of? Watching Brooke have that monster performance, 14 of 18 from the field. If you look at the playoffs this year in the NBA, there's been a bit of a resurgence of the big man. Like, we know Joel Embiid is great. We know Anthony Davis is great. But DeAndre Ayton has played a big role in the Suns' success. Even guys like DeMarcus Cousins with the Clippers had great spot duty. Ivica Zubac was very important to the Clippers' success. We all know Rudy Gobert, although he did get, well, he didn't get played off the floor, but probably should have, to be honest with you. But nonetheless, still an important piece to what the Utah Jazz are doing. But the traditional big man, the Aitons of the world, the Brook Lopez's, who was an all-star prior to his time here recently. He was a guy that we just banked on 20 and 10 when he was with the Nets back in the day. And then it felt like he was going to be a journeyman because the game had changed. And Brook adapted, he shot threes, but he also stayed true to himself and who he is as a big man. So, look, I believe the NBA is at its best when you are in a situation where teams play different styles. The fact that everybody was trying to replicate what Mike D'Antoni's Suns were doing back in the day, and then later on, Eric Spoelstra's Heat with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, with Bosh playing center, Shane Battier playing power forward. Then the Warriors taking that, saying, hold my beer, and doing it even more so. I understand the math behind it. But I do believe that you can build teams differently. And I do think that that's in the best interest of the league. If everybody's the same, it's kind of boring. But if they're not, then there is a real feeling like, hey, if this team can break through, why not us? Because sports, let's face it, are a copycat league. So I am certainly curious to see if this is a continued resurgence of the big man beyond this season. I happen to think it is. I could be wrong, but I think it is. So good on Brook Lopez yesterday. Congrats to the Bucks. Hopefully we get a healthy Giannis and Trey for Game 6. Because, look, these are two of the biggest stars in the league, so we'd love to see them compete at the highest levels. And, of course, you want to see teams at full strength, and that's just not been the case. It's been such a battle of attrition in the NBA this season. It feels like an NFL season in a lot of ways because of that. Right? Think about it. The NFL, year in and year out, is all about who gets hot at the end, who can stay the healthiest. I'm not saying that there haven't been teams that have gone wire to wire and have been dominant, but in the salary cap era of the NFL, I feel like there have been more teams that have sat there and just gotten some breaks in one way, shape, or form and have gone on to win a Super Bowl because they got hot or another team in front of them got hurt. Things happen. And in that sport, because of the physicality, it's something that you come to understand that that's the case. But this year with the NBA and its quick turnaround, I believe the number is 20% of the league's all-stars have missed significant amount of games. Like more than double-digit games this season in the regular season. That's not even counting the playoffs, which we've seen certainly has had its share of injuries for sure on a number of fronts, including a guy like Chris Paul, who, man, I am so excited for Chris Paul. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if it's we've just hit this stage with him where after 15-plus years or whatever it's been, or the fact that maybe he's on all the State Farm commercials now, that he's more in the public consciousness. But I am rooting for Chris Paul here. Now, I do believe that there's probably a lot of people that way or feeling that way. So there now becomes an inherent pressure on Chris Paul to finish the deal. Because before the other night, Chris Paul was known as the greatest player to never play in an NBA Finals. Well, now he can scratch that off, right? Check. That's over with. Now it's, is Chris Paul the greatest player of this generation to not win a championship? Of this generation, yeah. Of all generations, probably not. But he's in that, he becomes the guy that is in that conversation with the likes of Barkley and Ewing and Stockton and Malone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because he's that kind of player. So I'm rooting hard for him. And it's wild because we talked about this the other day when I was filling in for Max, that he's found his match, whether it's having a complimentary player like a DeAndre Ayton in the resurgence of the big men, as we were just discussing with Brooke Lopez's game last night, or the fact that Devin Booker is kind of a 24-year-old version of him. Chris said it the other day. This dude's the oldest 24-year-old I know. This dude watches as many games, as much film as I do. He's finally found his running mate. Someone who is the perfect complement to him. Because Chris, let's face it, isn't easy to play with because he expects a lot. He's not going to always pat you on the back, on the fanny, and say, oh, tough luck, bud. No, he's going to be upset if you do something wrong. Raj, is that you?
That's me, and I'm rooting for Chris, too. I like the story. I like the narrative, but there's only one reason I don't want him to win an NBA championship. How many more commercials will we get of Chris Paul if he gets a ring? How many more can we withstand through a TNT broadcast?
Oh, a lot more, man. A lot more. Oh, God. I mean, you think
Uncle Cliff going to have his own franchise? Come on, man.
Well, they've gone through a lot of iterations of those Chris Paul commercials already. You know, and we got a lot of different players coming in and out of those commercials. You know, we've got WNBA players now. Sabrina Ionescu is in the latest commercial with him. So, yeah, look, if it comes late in life, the recognition he deserves, so be it, as long as it comes, because he's the point guard for a reason, man. There are few players in the NBA that play like him. And he's a bit of a throwback on a number of levels, and I'm just excited that he's getting his chance. But he needs to finish the deal, man. He needs to absolutely take care of business here and finish this up. But I like it. I like him and Booker together. I like Ayton. I like this mix of veterans and young guys that they have, whether it's Jay Crowder, who's going to back-to-back finals, whether it's Cam Johnson, who's a good young player, who's a sniper, man, from that three-point line, especially the corners. And Mikal Bridges, fantastic 3-and-D player. Cameron Payne. Dude, if you would have told me Cameron Payne, who was doing those dances in the pregame with Russell Westbrook when he was a youngster, would have been this impactful for a team headed to the NBA Finals, I would tell you, man, come on. That dude can't even shoot. He can shoot now, and he can play. And a lot of that credit and a lot of the confidence that I think these young guys have on this Phoenix team, and it's why I love this, I love the new blood in the NBA, is because of the old head, Chris Paul, going in there and giving him the regimen, right? Giving him the ability to understand the structure and what it takes to be a professional. All the stuff, not just the hours that you're playing in the arena or the hours at practice, but the stuff you're doing in between all those hours to get yourself right, to get your body right, to get your mind right, to get your game right. All those things are the things that Chris Paul has learned over time. And now, in year 15 or whatever it's been, he can finish that deal. And these young fellas can help carry him over the finish line. They love him, man. And that has not always been the case with Chris. They love him. So good for them. Good for them. Good for Chris. Good for the Suns. Whoever comes out, though, if it's a healthy Bucks team, they got a load on their hands, for sure. But if it's an Atlanta team, especially with a little bit of a dinged up Trae Young, I like their chances for sure. I think they could beat the Bucks. I would pick them too, because I don't know what Giannis' situation is going to be like. I don't think that hyperextended knee is necessarily going to be something that is going to heal overnight either, for that matter. Speaking of things that have happened overnight, Raj, let me ask you a question. Now, the Sparks and the Aces played in the WNBA yesterday, and that's not the storyline that I'm getting to here. Now, I saw a bunch of pictures and videos of NBA players that were there. I saw Dwayne Wade was there with his daughter, Kavya. But I also saw that one LeBron Ramon James was at the game, and he was chatting it up with Damian Lillard. Now, you think that's something or nothing?
Let me ask you a question. Okay, I'll ask you two questions first. Is Bron not one of the most calculated NBA or sports stars you've ever covered?
Oh, heck yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Okay. And did he know there were cameras there? Was that like, was it a hidden camera or was it like just straight up cameras there? Like, was someone on their cell phone or was this like a real camera?
No, it was like, I mean, pictures. People were taking pictures of them. Like, people that were media, people that were on their camera phones, people were taking pictures of them. And there's video of them chatting it up and, you know, talking and stuff.
That's all I need to know. Then that means this is something. Los Angeles, this is something. LeBron didn't do this stuff for nothing. And anyone, it's a wish list, doesn't all come to fruition. But we know Dame is on LeBron's wish list. Yes, that's something.
Absolutely. LeBron James was out there, if you recall, in that All-Star game. He was recruiting Steph Curry. Okay, don't get it twisted. I know most people saw that and assumed that. I'll take it a step further. Okay? Mm-hmm. I did a game between the Warriors and the Lakers at Staples Center. And the Lakers destroyed the Warriors in this game. And in the post game, I was interviewing LeBron. And this was still when we had COVID protocols. So I was up in the stands and he was down by the scorer's table and he had a headset on. I had a headset on. And I went to ask him my first question. And I was asking him whatever it was I was asking him. And Steph Curry walked by. LeBron took off his headset, gave him dap, gave him a hug, tell him, you know, showed him some love, and then got the headset back on and answered my question because he knew where I was going. That's how smooth he is. But nonetheless, this is a dude who is playing three-dimensional chess. He's always been doing that. He's been doing this for a long time, ever since he left Cleveland. He is a smart man when it comes to trying to keep his legacy going. And as he gets older, that's a bigger part of it, the recruiting aspect of it. Now, I don't know if the Lakers can pull this off. If I at first guess, without trading Anthony Davis, which I think is pretty much unlikely, I would say highly unlikely, I don't think it's going to happen. But it don't hurt if you're LeBron to try to say, hey, Dame, you know, if you say you want to come to the Lakers, maybe Rob Pelinka can work some magic with three or four teams and we can make this work for everybody.
I tell you, there's a couple of deals that I didn't think were going to happen. They don't all come to fruition, like I say, but somehow Jeannie Buss and the Lakers get it done, especially when it's on LeBron's wish list.
I would agree. Well, you have to cater to LeBron's window, too, at this point. Like, I don't think there's any doubt. Mm-hmm. Speaking of windows, by the way, Richard Jefferson missed our window. I just texted him right now. He was supposed to come on at 11:10 Pacific, 2:10 Eastern. And I said, hey, man, you still around for this hit? And he's like, oh, man, I'm sorry, I forgot. We could do 11:30, 2:30. So he's in for the next segment. So we will talk to him about all these things because Richard played with LeBron. So very few people know LeBron like Richard. Also, very few people, Raj, I don't know if people know this, get under LeBron's skin like Richard does, even as a friend and a teammate. So maybe we could talk to him about that too, have some fun with that. So nonetheless, I just think even though it's unlikely, I think it's something to watch the LeBron Lillard situation. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Hey, the Bucks were in the zone last night. In the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Game number 6. Can the Bucks finish off Atlanta? We'll find out. We'll ask Richard Jefferson about that. We'll ask Richard Jefferson about LeBron and Dame Lillard. What's that mindset for LeBron as he's recruiting? And Kawhi, woo, is his days in L.A. number 2? All those questions with Richard Jefferson in just a moment. But first, let me tell you, recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it's estimated that 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max, M-A-X, ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. We talk some NBA. We get in the mind of LeBron James with ESPN NBA analyst Richard Jefferson. Next here, George Sedano, in for Max Kellerman on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. George Sedano in for Max. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Richard Jefferson, ESPN NBA analyst, will join us here. And, of course, NBA champion will join us in a second. Real quick, just to answer my question about the Trevor Bauer situation, the breaking news we had at the top, our Alden Gonzalez at ESPN has answered the question as to why the Dodgers didn't act prior to Major League Baseball, because according to the collective bargaining agreement, that is the way it has to be handled between MLB and MLBPA. The team cannot put a player on administrative leave. It has to be done through the process of the league and the union. So there you have it. So now we understand why the Dodgers were moving forward with this, but I wish they would have said something before leaving it up to us to have to figure out or have to understand after the fact. I don't think that they, I guess it's a tough spot, right? Like they don't want to put their player in a situation that's precarious with the media, and they'd rather, I guess, take whatever comes as far as criticism and allow the process with Major League Baseball to take place the way it has. So that's that. Just wanted to make sure we tie up that loose end for you. All right, let's talk some NBA here with our pal Richard Jefferson. First of all, what happened to you? Why are you always late?
I'm never late. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm right on time. That's the thing. That's the issue.
You were supposed to be on at 10 past the hour, Richard.
No. You wanted me on at 10 past the hour. That's a completely different conversation, or that's a completely different conversation. You asked if I could come on, and that was the time that you gave me. Mm-hmm. Look at the text message. There's no confirmation there.
Oh, good Lord. Now I'm going to have to go back and say, I said 11:10 p.m. Pacific. That work for you? That cool for you? You said yes.
No. I said yes. I'll come on the show, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here nonetheless. It is good to talk to you. It's been a minute or two since we've chatted. So anyway, before we get into the playoffs, LeBron and Damian Lillard, seen in a WNBA game between the Sparks and the Aces yesterday. You know LeBron James and how he works. We know he's a great recruiter. How much of a recruiting pitch do you think was going on there yesterday?
Well, from what I see, let's focus on the fact that there's guys out there supporting the WNBA. I think that is the first and foremost.
Sure.
You know, so much of everything got turned into recruiting. It's like, how about this? What were those guys doing?
They were supporting the WNBA, to your point. You're 100% right.
Let's talk about that. Yeah. That's awesome.
All right,
great
job.
These guys coming out supporting the women that support them. I think it's a beautiful, you know, back and forth that you see more and more, and I think needs to be highlighted and combined. That being said, you know, the recruiting, like, people make it seem like recruiting is done at WNBA games. These are guys that work together. These are guys that have been in all-star games together. These are guys that have done USA basketball. If you really think deals are done courtside at a WNBA game, then you're all a lot dumber than we all think.
Well, I'm not saying the deals are being done. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying that he probably hasn't texted him or called him or whatever prior to, but I'm saying adding a little extra, you know, oomph to it, you know, maybe having that conversation again while you happen to be sitting courtside at a WNBA game. I don't think that seems ludicrous.
Well, I think it is ludicrous. In my personal opinion, I think if these guys who are obviously some of the biggest athletes on the planet, some of the biggest basketball players, you know, like in the game, like, yeah, they see each other. I don't think that they were, you know, talking like, hey, you're coming over here. That's just what we want to happen. That's the narrative that we are. They recruiting him? Are they doing that? Wait, is Dame Lillard in Space Jam?
He is.
Why are we? That's my point. I love the sports fodder. I love that. But sometimes this is not on you. But sometimes we get a little out of pocket. Oh, Dame's going to come. Dame to the Lakers. It's done. They walked by and shook each other's hands. It's like, guys, if we want to have a conversation about how Dame would be. But I just personally don't think that there was a ton of recruiting going on or there is any, like, back deal, you know, stuff like, hey, if you come here, we can do this. I think these guys saw each other at a WNBA game when they were supporting the WNBA. And I really think that that was probably it.
Okay. How did he recruit you, by the way, when you went to Cleveland?
He didn't at all. He basically gave me permission to join the team. That was really it. There's a difference between recruitment and gave me permission. Mike Miller and Sean Marion retired, and they were like, who's the old guy out there that we can get for the same league minimum? And I fit the criteria. Very similar to Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley, they didn't recruit Jared Dudley. They just gave him permission to be on the team.
Okay, fair enough. Why do you of all people annoy him the way you do? Like I mean I can attest to why, but explain to the audience.
Well, because he's not special. He's not special. Like if you're in my like circle, if you're in my realm, I annoy everyone. That's just part of it. Like Sedato, I treat him the same way I treat you. Am I annoying to you? You started off this conversation annoyed with me that allegedly I was 11 minutes late, right? That's how we started off, and that's why I annoy him the exact same way. He's like, Richard, will you come do this? Yeah, but I'll probably be there on my own time.
Yeah, yeah. It was 20, but none, who's counting? All right, let's get to the NBA playoffs real quick. Chris Paul. Let's start with him. Is there pressure on him to finish this deal? Because, you know, you've got two banged up teams on the other side. I love everything about him and what has happened here with him, with this particular team. Do you believe that there is a sense of pressure relieved off of him because he's now no longer the greatest player to not play in the finals? Like, what do you think about the potential pressure of him to win the whole thing now?
Look, I stand by this, right? That Chris Paul, obviously, you know, is the best point guard of this generation. And when I say point guard, I mean facilitator, tempo manager, you know, because people, well, what about Steph Curry? Well, what's Luka Doncic? And it's like, guys, we're talking about the old school. This is what the point guard's job is, not guys that are two guards that are playing that or small forwards that are point forwards. He is a 6-foot point guard that is a steals, a defense, an assist guy. I personally don't think that anything changes. This is a great accomplishment for him. I'm happy for him that he's on this stage. I think that's amazing. But, like, if we're doing the whole legacy talk in this, I think truly he's got to win it in order to surpass and to move up the ranks. Getting there is awesome. Would I put him above John Stockton? Would I put him above Jason Kidd? No, but we're talking about Chris Paul being in the same conversation as John Stockton, Jason Kidd, Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson. That's amazing. But I think winning a championship, winning multiple championships, is really what gets you in there. But we all know that his skill level and his ability is on par with the great point guards of all time.
All right, we got a minute here. Richard Jefferson, NBA champion, ESPN NBA analyst with us here. You can check him out on The Jump and all our coverage on the NBA. Kawhi, you know, a lot was made, you know, and I don't buy into this stuff, okay? He's not on the bench, and then I guess he finally went to the bench for game six or whatever. But there is this notion that he may not be someone who is committed long-term to the Clippers, that he may test free agency. What do you make of the possibility of Kawhi potentially leaving the Clippers?
I think in very unique situations, should you not test free agency? If you're Steph Curry and you're the icon of the franchise, like testing free agency, what's really out there, right? But not saying that you shouldn't go if you want to go someplace else, But I think for a person like Kawhi, a lot of times testing free agents is a leverage, right? It's like, okay, well, are we going to go over the cap? It's like, no, we're going to not go over the cap. Or I think I should maybe test free agent. Okay, we'll go over the cap to bring in more people, right? Those are the little bitty leverages. And, you know, if you have relationships with players and you want to come back, everybody, it's capitalism. You should always see what else is out there before taking any deal. Even if you plan on returning, we've seen it time and time again. Even if you're returning, you should still see what the market is there. You should still put pressure on teams to maybe give you what you want, maybe give you something else. You see it in college basketball all the time, where college coaches will be interested in another job, but they're never leaving. Calipari is going to use different job opportunities in college and in pro sports to get more money and opportunity from Kentucky. So as far as like the capitalistic side of it, I think he should always pursue free agency. Now, is he happy? Is he this? I can't speak on that, but I think people should look at it more from a business standpoint when it looks at from a free agency standpoint.
Richard, despite being late, I still love you and thank you for joining us.
Hey, you should have me on more.
Maybe. Well, I'll think about it.
Come on, please.
Maybe. Well, I'll reassess over the long weekend.
I'll take a maybe. Yeah. A maybe's not a no.
Bye, Richard.
Bye.
See ya. Richard Jefferson, NBA champion, ESPN NBA analyst. All right, coming up next, we got some NFL tidbits for you. Which coach QB combo has the most pressure? We'll discuss that in a moment. Richard, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection for more vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. All right. Which quarterback coach combo has the most pressure? We'll get into that and some of your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN in just a moment.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show rolls on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hit us up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tune into an interleague battle tomorrow as the Yankees host the Mets. Coverage begins at 12:30 Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Real quick, thanks to Richard Jefferson, sort of, for joining us in the last segment, my guy. Spain, by the way, if you're watching the Euros or trying to keep in tune with what's going on in the Euros, defeated Switzerland. They advanced on penalty kicks. It was tied at 1-1 through regulation, 3-1 in penalties. En penales, as we say in my native tongue. And they win and they advance.
It was big. You know, I was sitting here and, you know, while you were talking to Richard, who showed up late and blew up our rundown, Nuno and Bubba asked me, "How are you watching?" And I said, "Dude, I'm trying to produce a show." And they're like, "He's a fill-in. These are penalty kicks in the Euro. You got to watch this." So I had to tune out a little bit to watch the end of this game, but it was exciting. But
and you know I got you. I ain't going to say anything crazy. You know, maybe just a little crazy. I ain't getting us fired on a Friday before a holiday, okay? That ain't happening.
That's good, yeah. That'll be a long weekend. That'll be a real long weekend.
I subscribe to the Jalen Rose theory of don't get fired on a Friday or don't get fired, period. But certainly don't get fired on a Friday before a long holiday weekend. Like, come on. The hell? Anyway, all our guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline, like Richard Jefferson, who joined us late. Jay Billis is going to join us in 20 minutes, and I guess he will definitely be on time. We will talk name, image, and likeness with him. But let's talk some NFL here. Yes. Whoop, 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 whoop. This is the music I love right here. The Raiders. We'll talk Raiders here in a second. But we got a lot of stuff going on in the NFL as OTAs are going. Man, I heard Keyshawn, Raj, was talking on KJZ about which Alabama QB was going to have the best NFL career. He said it was Jalen. Now, look, call me a homer, but I think it's going to be Tua, and here's why. I think Tua has got the right coach to play with. Him and Brian Flores are a perfect combination. Flores has shown us in a very short amount of time that he is legit as a head coach.
True.
And what I'll add is this. He doesn't have as much to lift, right? Think about what the Dolphins just added this season. They added Waddle. They had Devontae Parker. And they added Will Fuller this offseason, too. So now he's got three weapons. Devontae Parker is probably like the three now, which is probably the best place for him. They got a stout defense. The only challenge for the Dolphins to make the playoffs this year is their young offensive line going to mature, and can they run the ball a little bit to take some pressure off of Tua? As long as Tua doesn't make mistakes, I think he's got the higher team ceiling than any of these dudes, Mac Jones or Jalen Hurts.
Are you concerned at all, though, when Tua was saying, like, with checkdowns and audibles, like, I just didn't grasp it? Like, that doesn't concern you at all?
Nah, I think he's fine now. I just think that he got thrown into the mix. You know, remember he had that injury. He had to try to battle back from the injury. He was more focused on that. But speaking of pressure, man, there are some quarterback and coach combos with some pressure this year, and I don't think it's Tua and Brian Flores. But I'll tell you this. If I'm the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy, we all know Jerry, this is your team, Raj. We know he doesn't necessarily, you know, outside of the previous coach, he usually goes through coaches fairly quickly. So, I want to see if Dak is back from that injury. I hope he is. I know he did that Sage Steele interview recently, but I think they've got some pressure because the Cowboys always have pressure.
They always have pressure, and you'll get a close look at it as they've been announced as on Hard Knocks for the third time. Which, as a Cowboy fan, I hate. Can't stand that. But anyway, we'll get to see it. I think Dak will be fine health-wise. But hopefully he doesn't put up the same numbers as he did in the 5 weeks he played last year, because those numbers were all desperately trying to come from behind because we're in a hole every week.
Yeah, and Dak did say, quote, this will be a very, very special season for us and for Cowboy fans. Now, listen, when you throw in two varies, you know, there's a lot of pressure there now all of a sudden.
Let me tell you this. Before the injury, I was calling him Dak Stafford. Okay? I'm saying a lot of garbage time numbers, bro. Let's not get behind. Let's not go three and out a bunch just to have to try and pull a miraculous comeback every week.
Wow. Well, listen, I've got a list here of the coach QB combos with the most pressure. Dak and McCarthy are one, but I got five more for you. We'll do that in the next hour, plus Jay Billis is going to join us as well at 10 past the hour. We'll talk name, image, and likeness with him. George Sedano in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.